Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I'm in a series. I call it that because what I really want to say really doesn't make any sense. It's almost like to me that the Holy Spirit's apprehended me. It's kind of arrested me where I can't get away from it, what this topic or this subject. But the series is simply next steps. It's simply on-ramps in our life. And that's what God uses. God uses on-ramps, you know. Years ago, I was like a navigator. Man, my sense of direction was so keen. I'll tell you, in a previous life, I could have been Daniel Boone probably or somebody. But a few years ago, and I think it's because Sandy started speaking it into my life, that I started losing my sense of direction. Like driving, you know, I'd pull out and she'd say, I think we have to go left. And instantly I have to go right. If she says go left, then I'm going to go right. Even though we've been married 31 years and never really had a real argument. I don't think, have we, Sandy? Okay, we haven't argued today. I know that, but I don't think we have we? But anyway, I'm the gentle one. Sandy's got a real strong personality, and that's probably why we do kind of battle a little bit. But I lost that sense of direction, and in the process of that, it was great because I figured out on my phone that you could hit a little map button and you could put an address in. And that address comes up, and then there's a voice, and I affectionately call that voice Sandy, because it's pretty bossy. But it'll say in a mile you'll want to take exit 29A, it's easy then. It kind of breathes life, and it's cool. You're just cruising. You're thinking, I have a mile, and then it'll say in a half a mile, and in a quarter of a mile, and in 500 feet, and 100 feet, in 50 feet, take the next exit. And I'm taking that exit, and I've regained my sense of direction. And you know, honestly, the way that is in our phones, the way that's how the Holy Spirit operates in our lives too. Man, if you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if you become and you have to be vigilant in this, and to be vigilant or diligent in it, you have to understand that you have to be mobile. And to be mobile, God's just looking for you to take some steps. And see, that's what faith is. There are steps of faith. It's not a leap of faith. There's a time in the leap of faith where Satan tempted Jesus to jump down off the rocks and taking a leap. God's never going to require you a leap of faith, ever. It's always going to be a step of faith. I mean, it may be an extended step like this, or it may just be a foot or a foot and a half step, just a natural step for you. See, that's how God does it. The Bible says that many are the plans of a man's heart, but God directs his steps. See, that's why, to me, everything I see in the Word now, it's just next steps. And when we realize that those are on-ramps for our life, that God's just using his word by his spirit and just directing us similarly to the way our phone does when we type in an address. And what's interesting is when those phones, that sometimes the route it takes, man, it doesn't make sense or it's faulty. But you know what? With God, man, it might not make sense, but it's perfect, the route that he gives us for our lives. And I think there's too many people that are just stationary. Too many people that when we're babes in Christ, when we enter into the kingdom for the first time, we feel like, oh my gosh, I've given my life to Jesus and everything's brand new and my sin's forgiven and man, I'm going to heaven and God, there's a purpose in my life and God's got a plan for my life. But then that begins to kind of wear out. And we've got to keep stoking that fire in us. You know, what the man of God in the New Testament said, woe be unto me if I don't preach the gospel. There's a fire that's welling up on the inside of me. It's burning. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in this room. I've experienced that, where there's a fire in my bones. There's a fire in my belly. There's a fire in me. Woe be to me if I don't preach the gospel. I have to let people know about Jesus. And see, the The interesting thing is, it's not huge leaps of faith. We're not diving off the cliff. We're not cliff diving here, but it's just steps of faith, just like this. You get a report of sickness or disease in your body. What the word is requiring you is to take a step of trust toward God. You could take a step of fear away from God toward the diagnosis, or you could take a step of trust toward God. And then the next thing you know, though, and you don't want to stay sedentary. You don't want to stay where you're immobile. Man, you get all stoved up and you atrophy, and it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? And then you're crying out to God, listen, in desperation. And God's not looking for his children to cry out to him in desperation. Man, sinners, yes. People that don't know him, the heathen, yes. Man, I remember I had to cry out to God. It's like, God, you got to save my life. Man, they let me out of a little county jail in Warren County, Missouri, and I'm driving home at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I said, that's it, God, I'm giving my life to you tomorrow, and it was that morning, but I'm giving my life to you at church. And a few hours later, I'm sitting at church, and an hour and a half after that, I'm walking down an aisle and going to the front of this church, and in a desperate situation in my life. I went almost instantly from having the world by the tail and being able to live by the arm of the flesh and navigating life. And I'm telling you, everything turned on a dime where nothing was working in my life. Nothing was satisfying. Man, nothing was real in my life. I had a deep desperation for God. Well, now I just want more of God. I mean, I just want more of him. But for me to get more of him, listen, I have to take a step of faith that requires less of me. See, we create in this place, the music, everything we do here, we try to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to operate in. But in our lives, I have to create an atmosphere in my life. And there's so much of the world that happens in the world. So much of everyday, ordinary life that grieves God, that God can't be party to. You know, that us, it's like, it's not that big a deal. Oh, it's not that big a deal. It's always about the little things. Man, 15 or 20 years ago, there was a book that was written, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And in parentheses, the byline is, because it's all small stuff. You know what? There's probably some good stuff in that book, but I'm just telling you, man, that's not how God's called us to live our lives. God's called us to live our lives. Listen, and you could take this, this is kingdom living, faithful in what's little. Faithful in the small stuff. The Bible says if you're faithful in what's small, God will give you much. God will give you plenty. If you're faithful in the little, God will put you before great men. If you're faithful in what's small, God will give you oversight of cities. See, we look at our lives and we think it's about producing, that we produce. I'm just telling you, we in and of ourselves can do nothing. This is his kingdom. It's God's way of doing things. You know, it's interesting. We all think, man, I've got a great idea. Man, I believe we're to start a church in Skytook. When you know what? It was probably 2 years, man, the Spirit of God directing me. You're gonna start a church in Skytook. You get closer, it's like, okay, here's the opportunity you have. I remember when we bought the building in Skytook, I stood on the sidewalk, and it's like, oh my gosh, this building's ours. And I was there with a bank president who goes to the church now, a lawyer, and one of the owners of the bank. We're on the sidewalk on Rogers there, the main street of Skytook. And I'm just standing there, and they're saying, okay, are you interested in this? I said, yeah, I'm very interested. And they said, well, you can give us an offer, and we can begin to talk about it. Is this something you want to do? I said, no, this is something we're going to do. He said, well, get an offer ready. I said, look, I got a number. And they just looked at me, and finally the owner turned to the lawyer, and he said, is he wanting to tell us that number right now? Because I did. I have a number. I'm ready to buy the building. Let's go. And I gave him the number, which was, I believe, lower than what they had it on the books, but that was my number. And you know what? The next day, we bought that building. 30 days later, we had our first service in it. See, it doesn't just happen where it's like we rush through it. That was 2 years in the coming, 2 years in the making. God putting people together. See, with God, it's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. Man, there's things that you want to do. There's things you want to do in your life and accomplish things. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to be all in. I'm ready to dive. Okay, be all in, dive like this. Watch. And then you follow it up with this. And then it's like this. What did Jesus say to Peter? He said, look, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He turned to Matthew, who's a tax collector that Peter didn't want in his crew. He turned to him and he said, hey. And Matthew's just looking at him like this, like, hey, how about a little something, something? And Jesus turned and he said, look, come on, walk with us. Come on, walk with me. That's all it is. Do you understand that? All that is walking with him, following him, step by step along. It's not about us taking leaps. It's not about us trying to accelerate anything. Man, I'm an accelerator. I want to accelerate it. But you know what? God's just taking another step. You know what those steps equate to our lives, though? Growth. That's what faith does for us. It causes us to grow. What steps of faith do, it makes us bigger, it makes us stronger, it makes us better, it causes us to grow. But you know what, there's guys, Brad, you've been in the kingdom you've been serving God for most of your life, if not all of your life. Well, you know what? Man, we can't get to a place and think, well, I've arrived. We haven't arrived. I'm telling you what, you know what the world's about? The world's about constant motion. And I'll tell you, the world's catching up with the kingdom. Man, you get to be 57 years old like me, and you know what? You're not walking out getting the newspaper anymore. You're not waiting for the 10 o'clock news to hear the news anymore. I have to take my phone out of my pocket to preach because I'm getting news alerts that are coming to me, and it's second by second. It comes at a breakneck speed. Well, you know what? That's how the kingdom is. See, you have to understand that, man, God's given us his Holy Spirit. You know what, that the Holy Spirit now here, there's function in our lives now. Years ago, I heard of a survey in the 250,000 people that are committed to a church that between 8 and 9 out of 10 of them had no idea what God's purpose was in their lives. And you know what the first thought I had was? That's criminal for leadership. That's an indictment on leadership that people can commit to a church and go to a church even once a week and not have any idea what their purpose is. So you know what we've got to do today? Man, we've got to get off of that stale place. And you know what we have to do? This right here. Just take a step. Yeah, you know what? It may eventually lead to you building an orphanage in Africa. But I'll tell you, man, you look at it, it's the little things. And then you say, okay, man, I want to be the greatest. How do you? No, you know what you have to do? You got to take care of the fatherless and the widows to be the greatest in the kingdom. No, the orphans, they're little. Man, widows, they're little. Those are little things. That's all this is. I'm telling you, that's all God cares about in your life, are the little things. God cares about your next thought. So much so that he said, obey those who are in authority over you in the church, for they have to make account for your souls. I don't make account for your actions. I don't make account for what you say. I don't make account for what you do. But you know what? I'm going to have to stand before Jesus and make account for how you think. See, what this does is it helps you think and get your mind right. Man, the world can't get your mind right. Positive thinking isn't going to work. Because you know why? Man, it's like when Sandy and I have owned two houses. And the first house we bought, we moved from a red house. We're moving up, man. We moved from a duplex to a red house. Do we have one rent or two or how many houses? One, we had a red house. And I'll tell you, that red house was phenomenal. Wasn't it, Sandy? It was amazing. And then we went to look at houses. And here's how it worked in my life, is that there was actually a bank that would loan me money and buy a house. It was shocking to me. And they said, you can buy a house for between $70,000 and $80,000. I'm like, yeah, we're going to be homeowners. We're looking at houses. Well, then, during that time, the interest rates just dipped. The bottom fell out. And interest rates went from like 14 and 15 down to 7 and then 6 and 5. And it's like, oh my gosh. And I'm not doing the math because we're looking at houses. Next thing you know, Sandy said, there's a lot that this realtor wants to show us. I'm like, a lot? I don't want a lot. I want a house. Drives us by this brand new subdivision. She said, you can build a house. We've got plans right here in this subdivision, all you have to do is pick out a lot, and we can get you qualified. I'm like, there's no way that we could build a $70,000 to $80,000 house in this lot. And she said, no, you're approved now up in the 110s because the interest rates dropped. I'm like, and in that day I was stunned. That day I realized something in my life, how God works things together for my good. And here's Sandy all excited about the plans for this house. And I got to pick the lot. And it's it's the first house on the street. Big park at the end of the street. There's a creek that cuts through the backyards of all these lots and it goes on through the park. I mean, it was like a storybook to me. I'm thinking, there's no way I could ever that I'm this guy. That I'm gonna build a house. This was years and years ago. I was in my early 30s, 35. And I remember I'm just walking and I'm praying, and I thought, okay, this is the lot. Because in the backyard of this lot, there's a lot, and then there's a drop-off 18 feet, and then it goes 300 feet across this creek. The creek cuts it in half. But in the backyard of this lot, there were these huge 225-year-old oak trees. I mean, 60 and 70 feet tall and just immense. And it would take three of us to put our arms around the circumference. These trees were so massive, and they're just breathtaking, beautiful. So we built a house on that lot. And we lived there for a few years, and I noticed that this big, massive oak tree in the backyard, that the fringe of the oak tree didn't have any leaves on it when all the leaves came out. And I thought, oh, that's odd. No big deal. And every year, the limbs that weren't producing leaves increased, the ends of those limbs, where it was then 2 feet and 3 feet and 4 feet. And you got to think, they're huge trees. And then it's up to like 6 or 7 or 8 feet that didn't have any leaves on it. So I thought, you know what? I need to call somebody, and somebody that knows how to feed trees and doctor trees and help with trees, and we'll save this tree. I brought this guy in, and we're literally 50 or 60 feet from the tree. We're walking up. He goes, now what tree is it? I said, it's that tree. He said, oh, that tree's dead. I said, that tree isn't dead, Joker. You got a truck with some kind of initials on the side that you know what you're talking about. And I'm looking at a tree that's 70 feet tall and it's got leaves all throughout it. He goes, no. That tree's dead. He said, you can't help that tree. You can't save that tree. I tried to argue with him, you know, because... And he said, I'm just telling you, every year it'll just, and then finally it won't produce any leaves. I said, you're kidding me. What do I do? He said, you got to take it out. It's dead. I said, how do you know? He said, let me ask you this. You've been watching this tree. And I said, yeah, for probably the last 6 or 7 years. He said, how much has it grown? I said, I haven't noticed any growth. He said, that's because it's dead. See, in our life, that's why growth, that's why these steps are so vital. These steps are so vital in our lives. And you know what? We cut that tree down. We took it out. We planted a little sod at the base of it. And you know what? The next spring, our backyard, it flourished without that tree. And I've got to think that all the death, right, in the middle, all the roots, everything that it took up in that backyard, it was countering the life and the balance in that yard. And I saw where it's like, oh my gosh. And you know what my thought was the next spring after we took that tree out? Why didn't we do this years ago? Well, you know what? All it required was a step. Man, you think about the steps that God's just ordered, and you're going to hear his voice. See, that's how this works. But see, here's what happens with the steps that we take, the steps of faith and the steps of trust. And you know, the biggest commitment you're ever going to make as a Christian is coming to church once a week. It's like, you're like, oh, that's not that big a deal. No, at that point in your life, when you make that commitment, it's a huge deal. But you know, it's interesting because all it is now is that's not the step and the be-all, end-all. I think a lot of people are deceived into thinking that that's it. Look, I'm coming to church. Why aren't things working out? Because this life requires this. Because in order to grow, we have to take steps. And it's steps of faith. Man, we have to be mobile. But you know what? What happens is you sit, you soak, you're going to sour. The Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands, that the enemy, poverty comes in like a thief. See, but we've got to be moving. We've got to be agile. We've got to be ready. We've got to be people that the change, listen, the change in our life that we resist so much, but that change is just coinciding with the steps that we take. Is our view changing? Yes, because I've come from here to here. And see, in our lives now, we look the little things. That's all God cares about. Man, I personally don't know that God is anguishing over what you do. I don't believe God's thinking, you know what? The what and the song selection these guys had, I think the what in what I preach, I think the what in your ministry, in your life, I think God's like, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and you're my child. Go have at it. You've inherited all this. I think it's the how. How I do it. How they do it. I look at these guys. There's a humility. Man, they're celebrating one another. They're passing songs from one guy to the next. Man, nobody wants to get up here and be anything more than anybody else. See, that's the kingdom. The Bible says there's no comely or uncomely parts. Man, you got parts of your body that you take for granted just because they function. They stop functioning though, game changer. See, that's how we have to look at our lives. What's the next step? That's it. You want to hear God's voice? Take the next step of faith. Because I'll tell you what coincides with steps of faith. And this is a word of the Lord for you. That you take that step of faith, doors open. That no man can close. You sit like this and you get real heel heavy. And I guess it's from athletics or something, but I remember you play defense, you look across the line of scrimmage, if somebody's on their heels, you're thinking, man, I got him. I'm gonna knock him on his butt. I mean, why? Because he's already leaning that direction for me. You talk to these guys in the band, what they sing, I don't care. How they do it, I really care. Get up on the balls of your feet. Man, lean into people's lives. Man, for me, there's a lot of times right now, there's something in me. I want to get in the aisles. Man, I want to lean in. I want to get out among you. But see, the whole idea of this is you got to lean into all this. Man, lean into where the point is. Like, oh my gosh, I lived. I took a step and I made it. But what that step is spiritually for you is growth. And see, that's the key. If you're not growing, you're dead. And see, that's where God the repentance is for us. And you know, I look at it last week, and it's still the case. I'm just telling you, Hebrews 11, 33 and 34 has still captivated my heart. Man, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then we look at models of who Jesus is in people's lives. And through faith, you know what they did? Subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of the lions. Man, eliminated the violence of the fire. Man, there's so much, but we look at all that. Man, we're valiant in battle. And we look past the two things that we have to be about as a church. Live righteously and obtain the promises. Because let me tell you, it's not for us. I'm not living a righteous life just for me anymore. Because I'm telling you, this kingdom-mindedness is that, man, we get to bring people to heaven with us. Man, the two things, you guys raising kids in here? Man, you got to raise them to be leaning in their life every day toward heaven, taking steps toward that, and marry the right person. Then the what? Man, Taylor comes to me and says, Dad, this is of my heart to do. Hey, what he does doesn't factor in. How he does it is everything. And that's a broken, contrite spirit. It's humility. It's clean hands and a pure heart. What are those things? They're little things. Man, God doesn't care how you wear your hair. That's religion. How you dress, whether you shave or not. Oh my gosh. We get in here making arguments about men with whiskers and men without whiskers. And you know what? The world's going to go to hell while we're doing it. No, you know what it is? Attitude is everything. how we are, how we approach things. Man, God, life constantly reminds me, I'm no better than anybody. It's difficult for me to judge you. I got my plate full with me. At some day when I reach that perfection, maybe I'll start thinking about you a little bit. But you know what? We just live righteously. That's all it is. Obtain promises. And you'll say, how do you do that? Just like this, watch. Jesus said, follow me. I said, okay. And now how I look at it is, hey, God, you go, I go. I'm in. I'm going to take a step of faith. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do today. Just take a step of faith. What's the tithe? The tithe's a step of faith. What's serving? It's a step of faith. What's going through the growth track? It's a step of faith. What's everybody lift your hands and let's pray? It's a step of faith. See, that's all it is. It's just a step of faith. And then you get into a place where simple obedience, and you know what that becomes? A step of faith. What are you doing? You're growing. You want excellence in your life? Take care of the little things. Teach your kids to make their beds. Why? It's a little thing. Then they're not thinking, oh, somebody else will get it. Oh, mom will be here all day. She can do it. Uh-uh. It's those little things. Teach your kids to learn how to hear no. You know why? It's much easier for them to say no to the world when they learn how to hear it. See, it's pretty simple, but it's little steps. I'm going to plead with you, and then I'm going to let you go. Don't stay the way you are. Don't. God loves you right where you are, so much so he's not going to leave you the way you are. And see, that's the power of the Holy Spirit that's operative in our lives. The commission of Jesus in our lives is so simple. Bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Bring people to an honor of the name of Jesus. It's simple. And then teach them and train them and disciple them. You know what? Understanding people are resistant to that. I don't want to be trained to change. I'm a grown man. How do I re-enter my mother's womb? That's what Nicodemus said. But you know, I'm telling you, all of you are going to come to a place. Some of you guys, it's going to hit you like a wrecking ball. But you're going to stand, and the king's going to get up in front of you, the prince and the power of this world, and he's going to say, there's a brazen image of me that you're bowing to. And you're going to have to choose. And I'm telling you, that wrecking ball's swinging toward you. I'm going to bow, or let me put it another way for the fellas, curtsy. You're going to curtsy to this image. You're going to have to push your manhood aside, and you're going to have to bow to this image, or we're going to throw you in this furnace. And I'm telling you, Daniel's buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not bowing. And the king said, look, you guys are good men. I value you, but you bow or you're going to die. Not bowing, no. And you know what's interesting? All they were doing was taking another step toward that furnace. You going to bow? No. They weren't taking a leap of faith. They were just taking a step. And you know what? Finally, Nebuchadnezzar was enraged. He said, turn that furnace up 7 times hotter. They cranked that thing up. That thing was blasting. The men who grabbed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into that furnace were consumed with the heat and died. That's how hot it was. And Nebuchadnezzar, those men were thrown in that furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar said, see, this is an example if you disobey. This is my reign on the earth. I'm going to be a great king, and you're going to bow. Now, that this is the product if you don't bow. Look at what happened to these men. And he looked in the furnace, and he saw them in there dancing. And he looked, and he's like, and you think, okay, that freaked him out. They're dancing. Which didn't freak him out. Let me tell you what freaked him out. There weren't 3 men in that furnace. There were 4. He said, those are the 3 yahoos we threw in there, but that 4th one resembles the Son of Man. They're in there dancing with Jesus. Why? Because they took that step of faith. You know what comes into play? You take a step of faith. That wrecking ball's pulling. Omar, you got cancer. Omar, here's your future. We're going to dictate your future. No, God's given me a future, and not just a future, but a future in what? A future and a hope. That hope's never going to disappoint. So you know what it is? I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord my God. What's he stepping toward, that furnace? I'm trusting God. That wrecking ball swinging toward you, I'm trusting God. You know what? No weapon formed against you can prosper. Omar, are you healed? Yeah. You know why? He said so. See, it's how you think. Can it take you out? If you let it. Is there a door open in your life? Man, something comes around our home. Sandy's been incredible at this, just leading me through it, through our marriage, that something starts happening. She's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's a door open. What door have we left open? She checks her heart first. What door have I left open? Everybody talks about Job. How'd that happen to Job? You know what Job said? That which I have feared has come upon me. There was a door that got open. What are you leaving open? Man, make sure those doors are shut. You know how you shut those doors? You take a step of faith. Keep walking toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a prize. You keep taking those steps. Yeah, but I've been here. I've heard it all. You take another step. It's a step of faith. It's a step of faith. It's a step of faith. Why? Because it all produces changed lives, and that's God's heart.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.